Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm your host, Surreal Quinn, taking you to the 1:30 hour, 1:30 a.m. hour, 60 minutes. A wild card weekend of the NFL football. Football also, there's some championship games, of course, a couple nights ago now. A lot to do on this busy program, and I'm glad to be hosting it with you for the next hour. So 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. But we begin in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Of course, the playoffs will begin in roughly about 14 hours or so. And listen, I think this is as wide open as playoffs as I've ever seen in my life. I think that, you know, two things stand out when you look at these, you look at NFL playoffs. One, this is the most pressure-filled playoffs that I can remember. I mean, there's more pressure on teams, individual players, coaches, and again, I'll begin with Indianapolis because their whole organization is under the gun. You know, they go 14-2. They might be the most scrutinized 14-2 team in NFL history. They go 14-2. They just talk real fast and make a history of going 6-0 and possibly going 19-0 to rest players. Again, you've heard how I felt about this team. I don't agree with it. Anything less, and I've kind of gone back and forth with this for the past couple of weeks. At first, I thought, you know, anything less than a Super Bowl appearance would be a failure, even if they do lose to San Diego, who is not a good matchup for them, and San Diego is probably playing better football than anybody in the league right now, in the NFL right now. But to me, anything less than a Super Bowl championship is a failure now, because they go to the Super Bowl and lose to whoever, with Brett Favre, Cowboys, whoever's in there, they're the Atlanta Braves of football. One championship, a bunch of playoff appearances, a Super Bowl loss, unlimited, unparalleled regular season success, most wins in a decade by any franchise in NFL history, they're the Atlanta Braves. They have put themselves in a position where they have to win the Super Bowl. They have to win the Super Bowl. Again, the entire organization from Bill Pullman to Peyton Manning on down. It's about Bill Pullman's decision making. It's about Peyton Manning's legacy. Carl Wentz would not take a big hit. If anybody who knows anything about that organization knows that Bill Pullman, runs the show. Okay, he told Carl Wentz what to do. Carl Wentz, that was not Carl Wentz's decision. That was a Bill Pullman decision. Period. You look at San Diego. San Diego had a great year, 13-3, 11-game win streak, they could play off as hot as anyone. It's now or never for them, as far as I'm concerned. You got a great quarterback. North Turner loses the first round game in a division playoff game, he could be out of here. He could be gone. I mean, they really only have one major obstacle to get to the Super Bowl, and that would possibly be Indianapolis. Philadelphia has been the father. Has been the father of the NFC championships, the 4-4 in those championships. Andy Reid, Don McMahon, one of these years has to get it done. They've already been to the Super Bowl. They've been to the conference championship games. They've won over 100 games over the last decade. They're in the worst position to be the Colts because they haven't won a Super Bowl. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys haven't won a playoff game since 1996. Super Bowl 30. Aikman, Irvin, and then, of course, Emmitt Smith. You can tell me all you want, but they turned around. The new Cowboys, Romo was clutch in December. They had a good December, and so on and so on. Win a playoff game. They're going to minimum NFC Championship to keep Ray Wilson's job. Maybe have to go to the Super Bowl. Maybe. Minimum NFC Championship. And of course, finally, last but certainly not least, the Minnesota Vikings, who have a 40-year-old quarterback who could, you know, who knows, Brett Favre could retire in the, you know, third quarter of the division playoff game. I mean, he's Brett Favre. So, I mean, nobody knows. He doesn't know what he's going to do after the season is over. But, you know, again, 40 years old, offensive line is not getting any younger. And again, luckily for Brad Stevens, unlike Wade Phillips, he has a 5-year extension that he signed because of Brett Favre. You know, Brett Favre retires, good luck in finding a quarterback. So a lot of pressure on these teams, coaches, and players to not only just make it to the Super Bowl, but to win the Super Bowl. I think right now, as you look at the 12 teams, there are 8 of them that could possibly go to the Super Bowl. I would say anybody in the NFC, in Indianapolis, in San Diego, in the AFC, and I would say 4 of them could win the Super Bowl. Beginning, of course, in San Diego, Indianapolis, Minnesota, and yeah, I say I probably have to take a schedule after I say this, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, listen, gotta give credit where credit is due. Defense is playing great, and they're playing well as any team in the NFC right now, period. Also, the second thing that comes out that stands out to me is the quarterbacking. This is the best set of quarterbacking in the playoffs that I've ever seen. You're talking about 3 all-time greats with Manning, Brady, and Favre. You know, you have Rivers on top of his game. You have Kurt Warner, future Hall of Famer. You have Don McNabb, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. You have Romo playing well. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Brees, you know, Brees and Drew Brees and Drew Brees. Flacco has a chance to be a buddy star, led his team to the playoffs in his first 2 years. Carson Thomas, still a very good player. And then, of course, you have Mark Sanchez, who is, there had to be a blender somewhere. Mark Sanchez, who by Devin and Below, the same discussion as any of those guys, is by far the most cool that's there. But, you know, they just did get to the playoffs. They just did make the playoffs, not because of him. But you look at 11 of those 12 quarterbacks are just, you know, are tremendous. And again, almost half of them are Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks. And there's never been a year where the quarterback has been this good in the playoffs. I dare anybody to go 5 a year. We should make for some great games come Saturday and Sunday. Still to come on this latest edition of the Friday morning wake up call. I have the NFL picks. And next segment, we will look back at the Cosmos National Championship. Alabama rolled towards its 8th National Championship, or according to Alabama's 13th National Championship, officially 8. We'll talk about that and just how much of a disappointment it was of the end to the Cosmos season. We'll talk about that after the update. 347-215-615-6180 is the call number. 347-215-6180 is the call number. The Seattle Seahawks have fired former head coach Jim Moore after just 1 year, and according to a LA Times report, they've already interviewed USC head coach Pete Carroll for the job. Carroll not only is considered the leading candidate to be the head coach, but he also would be the team president. A deal could be in place as early as this weekend, before the weekend is out, which would pay Carroll around $7 million a year, again, to be head coach as well as team president. NBA scores, Atlanta over Boston, 94-85. Dallas over San Antonio, 112-103. The Wizards get back on track, 104-97 over Orlando. Memphis over Utah, 91-89. New Orleans over New Jersey, 103-99. Milwaukee defeats Chicago, 96-93. Minnesota gets by Indiana, 116-109. Miami over Phoenix 109-105. Toronto edges Philadelphia 108-106. Late NBA scores, good one down in Denver. Cleveland and Denver are knotted up at 73-all. The Lakers continue to have some wins and down in Portland. They go down to Portland 107-98. They can't win there to save their lives. And one other score that's still going on, the Kings over the Warriors right now, midway through the fourth quarter, 95-89. Of course, we had Alabama winning, again, unofficially the team's eighth championship. They won five championships before the AP poll was taken. Listen, it was a fitting end to what has been, to what to me was a terrible bowl season. Nobody cared about these BCS bowls. It was one of the most irrelevant weeks of college football that you'll ever see as far as the BCS goes. I mean, Boise State, you know, Cincinnati, Florida was a joke. You know, Boise State, TCU wasn't nothing to jump up and down about. Georgia Tech, Iowa, pretty good game, but again, not a classic. And last night, and you know, a couple nights, Thursday night, you had the competitive part of this game taken out when Colt McCoy was hit and left the game with a pinched nerve in his shoulder, his throwing shoulder. And after that, it was academic. I mean, I understand that they got the game close in the fourth quarter at 24-20, but you never got a sense that Texas was going to win that game. I did myself, but you know, Nick Saban did everything, despite all the good fortune that Alabama had. Saban did everything to keep to keep Texas in the game. I mean, he does a fake punt deep in his own territory, which made no sense. He left to he elects to receive instead of putting his defense on the field. His defense, which is by far, which is the best defense in the country, he goes in the second half instead of punting the football and pinning Texas deep in their own territory at 24-13. He elects to kick a 52-yard field goal. Of course, Tiffin misses the field goal, and Texas goes down and scores a touchdown to cut it to 24-20. Saban had an awful game. He was ultra-conservative in the third quarter. But, again, nobody will talk about it because, you know, he's now a two-time national championship winner. And on the other hand, you have Mack Brown, who you want to defend Mack Brown. You know, his team had every reason to quit. Without their star quarterback, their senior quarterback, come in with a true freshman who actually played well in the second half. So you want to give Texas some credit, but you want to give Mack Brown takes some credit, but Nick Saban, Mack Brown, late in the first half, 17-6, just seconds to play, about 15 seconds to play, decides to run a shovel pass, and gets picked off, of course, and goes back, gets taken back to the house, 24-6. I mean, what is Mack Brown thinking on that call? I mean, at 17-6, you are down a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and a field goal. You know, go in at halftime 17-6 and get yourself settled, get your quarterback settled down, get your freshman quarterback settled down, and I mean the game would not have been over at 17-6. 24-6, there's no way you win that game against that defense. And you know what Alabama was gonna do, they were gonna milk the clock. They ran the ball 51 times. So you know clearly what their objective was. And again, that's why, you know, you were ready to put Mack Brown on that pedestal, how he won that game. But that's why Mack Brown is Mack Brown. I've never been a Mack Brown fan. I know he hasn't won championship. I know he came in with six straight bowl wins and gets great talent year in, year out. But, I mean, that was an awful call at 17-6, throwing a shovel pass with your backup quarterback. I would say if Colt McCoy would have been in that game, that would have been a bad play call. It was just not the time and place to have that kind of play call. But with that said, Alabama was clearly the better team, was clearly the better team. Listen, Alabama's not going anywhere. I mean, as long as Nick Saban is there, they're going to get the best recruits as far as defense, special teams, and running backs. They don't need superstar quarterbacks when you have great offensive lines, great defensive lines, and just off the chart defensive players. There's not a defensive player in the country, a top high school defensive player in the country, who doesn't want to play for Alabama, doesn't want to play for Nick Saban based on his schemes, play designs. I mean, they come at you in waves. They're bridges. You don't know where they're coming from. Similar is almost, they disguise their stuff as well as better than anything in the country. You know, almost like the Baltimore Ravens, almost like the New England Patriots back in, when they were playing great defense. They're going to be around for a while. They're not going anywhere. They'll be preseason number one. They'll have basically their entire offense coming back next year with McElroy, you know, Ingram, Richardson, and the receivers. So they're going to be right there. They're going to stay, especially now with Florida. Who knows with Urban Meyer, that whole situation. Alabama is clearly back on top of college football. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we come back, week number 18 in a league where no contract is guaranteed, I'll have my NFL picks. I'll have that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake-up call. On the Saturday morning wake-up call, 45 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. The Seattle Seahawks have decided to fire Coach Jim Moore after just one season. More or less, Seattle to a 5-11 record. 5-11 record. Moore, of course, replaced Mike Holmgren after the 08 season. According to the LA Times report, Seattle is in talks with USC coach Pete Carroll. Carroll would have complete control of football operations as a head coach and also team president. A deal could be in place that would pay Carroll $7 million a year for 5 years. Again, a deal could be in place, and I mean this could be done as early as Sunday. They are in talks right now. Late NBA scores: Cavs Nuggets lead Denver leads Cleveland 82-75 early in the fourth quarter as LeBron and Carmelo square off. Kings, Sacramento over Golden State 98-99 late in the fourth quarter. The Lakers fall to Portland 107-98. Atlanta over Boston 93-85. Dallas gets by San Antonio 112-103. Washington over Orlando 104-97. Milwaukee edges Chicago 96-93. Minnesota over Indiana 116-109, Miami 109, Phoenix 105, Toronto over Philly 108-106, Memphis 91, Utah 89, and New Orleans 103, New Jersey 99. Week number 18 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. It is win or go home time for the NFL. We begin with probably the least attractive game out of the four games this week down in Cincinnati, as the Jets go down there to take on the Cincinnati Bengals in the first of the three rematches from week 17. And listen, everybody right now is kind of sipping the Jets Kool-Aid. They blew off Cincinnati last week, in a game where, frankly, you know, Cincinnati had absolutely nothing to play for. You know, there was only a difference between number 3 seed and number 4 seed. They were not getting home. They were not going to get a first round bye. Again, Cincinnati played that game like as if it were a preseason game as far as the intensity. I don't know why Carson Palmer was on the field so long. That was a mistake. Luckily, they didn't pay for it. But expected it to be a totally different game. I expected it to be a very close game. You have two excellent defenses. The Jets defense has been the best in the league over the course of the season. But again, you will not see the same Cincinnati team that you saw down at Giants Stadium. Again, in the NFL, if you don't play with any emotion, and you play against a team whose lives are on the line as far as playoff, trying to make the playoffs. That's what kind of game that's what tends to happen. You know, you're going to get blown out. I don't put any stock into it. I like Cincinnati in a close game, 17-14. You cannot. I don't care how great your defense is. I don't care how great your running game is. You cannot hide your quarterback in the playoffs. Mark Sanchez is a rookie quarterback. He was awful this year. He was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL. star. He might have been outside of Jamarcus Russell, might have been the most starting quarterback in the NFL this season. And he's a rookie. I mean, he's a rookie. He, again, if they had a decent veteran backup, he probably goes to the Cowboys. I like the Cowboys in this game. I think the Eagles will have trouble messing up with Dallas' offensive line. I do not like the way that Philadelphia played that game last week. You think about what was on the line. They had a bye week, okay, home game, and they go from that to a number 60, and they put that type of effort. Again, I give Dallas a lot of credit. They shut down Philadelphia's air attack. And Philadelphia, again, and this is where Philadelphia gets themselves in trouble. They didn't try to run the ball at all. Andy Reid, you know, has a way of abandoning the run at that time. And, you know, Philly fans know that also well. But, again, Dallas, it's just a bad matchup. And listen, don't get caught up in a nonsense that it's hard to be a good team three times in a season. 19 times a divisional rival has swept the season series in the regular season. I mean, what's their record in that third game? 12-7. So history since the game is losing about 3.5. I want to pick against the Patriots so bad. You know, I can't stand the Patriots. Everything that's happened to the Patriots would lean towards you picking against them. Douglas Walker, these are not their defense is not as good in terms of their secondary. But I just don't think that Baltimore has the kind of weapons that can hurt where the Patriots are weak, and that's the secondary. Baltimore is a team that wants to go 3 yards in the cloud of dust. They take a couple of shots down the field, but for the most part, Baltimore wants to run the ball. I mean, Baltimore is like, you know, Alabama in a lot of ways. I don't think they can hurt the Patriots with the passing attack enough to go into that stadium and win the game. Again, I think this game, again, like the other two games, will be very close. I can see Brady making a play here, making a play in the fourth quarter, late in the game to get the Patriots moving on. Patriots have been dominant this year at home, and I cannot remember the last time they lost a home playoff game. I like the Patriots 23-20 to get by the Ravens. And finally, we have Green Bay at Arizona. Green Bay is outside San Diego. Green Bay is playing as well as any team in the NFL going down the stretch. They only lost was to that heartbreaking game to the Pittsburgh Steelers at the last second. And I'll take you back to August 28th, 2009, preseason game against Arizona. Green Bay is smacking Arizona. 38-10 at halftime with their stars. I like Dallas to sweep Philadelphia. I like Baltimore over New England and Green Bay to handle Arizona in a close game. I'll take three favorites and one dog. I with Arizona with Green Bay being the one underdog in the Arizona game. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake up call. We'll talk some NBA. We'll talk about the sublime and the ridiculous. That's still the LA Times reports that the Seahawks already interviewed one USC coach, Pete Carroll. If Carroll is hired, he will not only become the head coach, he will also become the team president. The deal on the table report is to be worth $35 million, $7 million a year for 5 years. Again, this thing could be done as early as this weekend, before this weekend is out. It seems like they want Carroll in the worst way. And Cal wants full control. Again, I would not be surprised if this deal is not done before Monday morning. NBA action. In a late game, Denver leads Cleveland 84-81 midway through the fourth quarter. Golden State leads Sacramento late in the fourth quarter, about 50 seconds left to go in that game, 103-99. Portland over LA, 107-98. Atlanta gets by Boston, 93-85. Dallas over San Antonio, 112-103. The Wizards get back on track, 104-97 over Orlando. Milwaukee edges Chicago, 96-93. Minnesota defeats Indiana, 116-109. Miami, 109. Phoenix, 105. Toronto edges Philly, 108-90. 106. Memphis over Utah, 91-89. New Orleans, 103. New Jersey, 99. not a good week is a lot to, has a lot to do with what the Washington Wizards have allowed Arenas to do. They signed him by any stretch of imagination, am I blaming the Wizards for this? You know, for this, they did not bring the guys into their own arena. You know, limited or unlimited, I understand that. But you know, you already knew who Gilbert Arenas was before you signed to that $111 million contract. When you sign to that contract, you basically gave him carte blanche to say or do whatever he wanted to do. You just didn't understand that he was going to take it this far. Okay? Arenas, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say this is worse than Prescott Burris, but it's pretty close. I mean, you take four guns. You try. First of all, I don't believe the whole story that you try to play a joke on. Okay, but for Cuban readers to, you know, use the excuse basically, well, you know, I have a little daughter. I went together from my kid, with, you know, in the same home as my kids. You know, if the Verizon Center the only place in the world that you could have took those guns, it was home of the Verizon Center. You could have had them. You know, you couldn't have them destroyed. You could put them on eBay. Those are the only two options, the Verizon Center and your house. And the Wizards, who not too long ago, a few hours ago, fined Andre Blass, JaVale McGee, right before Nick Young for laughing and joking around in that picture during that pregame with Arenas. There's one name that was left off this list, a very big name as far as the Wizards goes, that's of course Antoine Jameson. I mean, the Wizards, for them to suspend those four players and not Jameson, who was smiling from ear to ear in that picture, Jameson, he does a pregame speech, so you don't suspend him, or not suspend him, you don't fine him because he does a speech. I mean, how many championships has he won for your team? And then the Wizards come out and say, well, we're not phasing out Gilbert. We're just focusing on other players. You took down Gilbert Arenas' banner off the side party of the Verizon Center where facing a 6th Street building. Facing 6th Street. And you remove every piece of merchandise that had Gilbert Arenas' name on it, as far as jersey goes within the arena. How are you not phasing them out? I don't understand that. You know, here's a quote from Ernie Garfield. This will not be a permanent ban. But again, Arenas has put his career in jeopardy. Why play a tough guy and taking a joke way too far? I can only think what David Stern was thinking. I only imagine what David Stern was thinking as he sees that, as he's just basically 5 years removed from, you know, the path to Auburn Hill disaster with Ron Artest and Steven Jackson. And from an NBA standpoint, the NBA is one of the most, probably the most scrutinized professional sports league, you know, around. That's just the way it is. On a more positive note, though, there is a player who is quickly rising and becoming and headed towards building a team around, you know, a great center, a great point guard. But I would take Kevin Durant over Chris Paul right now. I mean, there's nothing Durant can't do offensively. He can, you know, unlimited range. He can score from the post. He's making his teammates better. Their record right there, you know, they're 19-16. They have a winning record on the road. And they have a legitimate chance at getting that A spot in the Western Conference playoffs, in the Western Conference. He does not have great talent around him. I like Westbrook. He's a very good player. as a complimentary point guard. I don't think he'll be an all-star. I like Green, Jeff Green, again, as a complimentary player. But what Kevin Durant is doing right now is nothing short of spectacular. Night in, night out, he's putting up 30. You know, he's grabbing, 7 to 8 rebounds a game. When he gets stronger and develops a more physical post game, I mean, you're not gonna be able to. It's not even gonna be fair. He will challenge. I predict that he will challenge LeBron James as the best player in the league in another two or three years. He will, like LeBron challenged Kobe. I believe Kevin Durant will challenge LeBron James. He's 21 years old. You have to put that in perspective. What this guy has done his first 3 years in the NBA. When he came here as a 19-year-old, averaging 20 points a game on an awful team. I mean, that team was, and I respect Oklahoma, formerly Seattle, for what they did. They just tore it apart, didn't go after, overpriced free agents. So, hey, we're going to stink for a couple of years, but you know what? We'll rebuild, hopefully get lucky in the draft, and take it from there. But again, Kevin Durant, when you have idiots like, give a reason, it's always good to know that you have a Kevin Durant right around the corner who is ready to take that, take the next step and become a big time player. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Shanahan returns to Washington, and I'll give you my thoughts on the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. That's still to come and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 347-215-6176 is your call number. 347-215-6176 is your call number. The Seattle Seahawks have fired head coach Jim Moore after just one season. Seattle was only 5-11 this season, and according to an Atlanta Times report, they have already interviewed USC head coach Pete Carroll to become not only the head coach but team president. The deal could be in place as early as Sunday that will pay Carroll $35 million over the course of five years. Carroll is already looking to just Golden State defeating the Kings 108-101. Atlanta over Boston 93-85. Portland continues his home dominance over the Lakers 107-98. Dallas 112, San Antonio 103. Washington 104, Orlando 97. Memphis, Utah 91-89. New Orleans 103, New Jersey 99. Milwaukee 96, Chicago 93. Minnesota 116, Indiana 109. Miami 109, Phoenix 105. Toronto 108, and Toronto 108, Philadelphia 106. Mike Shanahan made his return to the NFL this week as he joined the Washington Redskins as head coach and also team president. He's going to have Carl Blanche on the first. He picks when you get a guy like Shanahan, you bring instant credibility to the franchise and a sense of competence. And don't laugh when I say that. A sense of competence to the head coaching position for the Washington Redskins. Jim Zorn, all you know about Jim Zorn is he's a good guy. He's funny. He tells quirky stories. He's different. But as a coach, he wasn't worth two cents. And frankly, I don't blame Jim Zorn. You have to blame the prior head coach experience in the NFL. He didn't have the coordinator experience. So again, Shanahan is going to bring instant credibility. Shanahan didn't leave Denver on good terms, of course. Refused to fire his defensive coordinator after the defense had struggled in the last couple of years that he was there. Had some shaky drafts, but remember what Shanahan left Denver with. Jay Cutler, who I think still is a borderline franchise quarterback. I still have a lot of faith in Cutler, but he has to be put in a better position to succeed by one Lovie Smith. DJ Williams, Edward Dimmerville, Brandon Marshall, you know, he did not leave that cover bare. He gets Chan Bailey for Clinton Portis. Chan Bailey ends up being the best quarterback in the league, you know, for the better part of the 2000s. You know, same voice. It gets mundane after a while. Hey, I got to say that it was time for Shanahan. It was time for a change for Shanahan. And again, if I'm Mike Shanahan, Clint Portis, bye-bye. Lavelle Betts, goodbye. Cassandra Moss, goodbye. You know, you got to get in shape. It's just that simple. But the most important move for the Washington Redskins from Shanahan, probably the most important decision that he'll make is whether he decides to keep Jason Campbell, which I think you have to. I mean, I think you have to keep Campbell. There are no quarterbacks coming out of this draft who are worth even a sniff of a first round pick. You draft a left tackle. You want to get a quarterback. You want to get a quarterback late, fourth round, fine. Then do it. So be it. But first, second round, I'm not taking a quarterback. And for the people who knock Mike Shanahan only winning one playoff game without John Elway in the last 10 years, guess how many playoff games Bill Belichick has won for his career without Tom Brady? Yes. One. I don't care how many X's and O's, how much of a genius you may think you are as an NFL coach. If you don't have the horses, you don't have the players, you're not winning championships. It's just that simple. You're not even making the playoffs without good players. So I think Shanahan will do a good job there. We'll do a good job there. Again, I think as long as he can keep Dan Snyder at bay and just focus on, you know, just Camille is your call number. The Seahawks have fired Jim Moore after just 1 year. And according to LA, Moore led Seattle to a 5-11 season. According to an LA Times report, Seattle has already interviewed USC head coach Pete Carroll. Carroll is expected to become the next head coach and also team president of the Seattle Seahawks. A deal could be in place as early as Sunday that would pay Carroll $7 million a year for four or five years. Again, he will be head coach and also team president. Late in the fourth quarter, Denver leads Cleveland 96-91. Golden State defeated Sacramento 108-101. And the Lakers continue their road woes against Portland 107-98. Atlanta over Boston 93-85. Dallas 112, San Antonio 103. Washington over Orlando 104-97. Memphis 91, Utah 89, New Orleans 103, New Jersey 99, Milwaukee edges Chicago 96-93, Minnesota 116, Indiana 109, Miami 105, Phoenix 105, Miami 109, Phoenix 105, and Toronto gets by Philadelphia 108-106. Three four seven two one five six one eight zero is your call number. Hall of Fame votes came in this week in Major League Baseball, and just one player is going in. Of course, Andre Dawson. Andre Dawson had an excellent career, over 400 home runs, 300 stolen bases. Took a long time for him to get in, but he finally gets in. Won an MVP back in '87. Was a compiler. You know, he had a couple of great individual seasons, but mainly was a guy who played a long time, compiled stats, but again, is well deserving of making the Hall of Fame. He was a he personified power and speed. And the one thing he has in his favor, and there are going to be certain guys who don't have great stats, but who have very good stats and who are going to have in their favor, he was not linked to the steroid era. That is going to be a big deal going forward, again, for guys who probably might not have gotten to the Hall of Fame or would have been borderline at best. That, you know, Andre Dawson's 400, over 400 home runs looks like 500 home runs right now. You know, that's all it is to it. So you're going to see a lot of those guys, those borderline guys, possibly get into the Hall of Fame in the upcoming years. One, a couple of misses. One was just an absolute disgrace. Roberto Alomar didn't get in, received over 73% of the vote. But I use a better example. That Ted Williams was better than Jim Rice. Williams, of course, Ted Williams was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Jim Rice was not. I don't need an answer. I don't need a writer to tell me that. I can watch the game. I can look at the stats. I can figure that out for myself. You know, the average baseball fan understands that there are levels to greatness in baseball. You know, it's almost like these fans have become obsessed with this. You know, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't want to hear that question. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer? Either he's a Hall of Famer or he's not. You know, how can a guy be a Hall of Famer, you know, in 2010, but he wasn't a Hall of Famer in 2001? I don't get that. Now, in Roberto Alomar's case, I mean, Alomar, over the course of his career, was the best second baseman in baseball during his playing time. And one of the best in his generation, probably the best in his generation, as a complete baseball player. He could hit for power, he stole bases, he was probably the best defensive second baseman of all time. You know, 10 gold gloves. He was the best player on two championship teams Toronto going back to back in 1992-93, hit in the postseason, 313 bad average in the postseason. Had Barry Larkin, not so much. I've never been a Barry Larkin fan. I know he had the MVP, but he's a guy who really breaks down his numbers. They're not that impressive, even from a shortstop, even as a shortstop. How many true Hall of Fame years did Barry Larkin have? I think he's a bit overrated. He will end up getting in, but I don't have a major problem with him not getting in, especially him not getting in. But my problem with the Hall of Fame writers is, you know, they got to get over three of the matchups, and three of the games these teams played last week. And I like all the home teams. With the exception of Green Bay, Arizona. So again, Green Bay playing as well as any team in football right now, and the offensive line's been great. Aaron Rodgers has been off the charts. Charles Woodson is probably going to be a decent player of the year. Aaron Rodgers was getting knocked over all over the place, and he came out and forced fumbles, had a pick. And was just all it was playing against. So he won the best defensive games any player has played this season. And that to me boasted Green Bay towards, you know, winning 11 games and finishing the season when they finished. And again, I think when it's said and done with these playoffs that you will not forget as a fan. Because there's so much pressure on these teams and these organizations and these individual players and coaches to win. Again, I've never seen an NFL playoff with so much pressure on so many different people. And you should enjoy it as a fan because you're going to see the best quarterback you've seen ever in NFL playoff history. You're gonna see the best set of quarterbacks as a group that you've ever seen. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Philip Rivers, McNabb, Kurt Warner, J. Drew Brees. I mean, it does not get any better than that as a group. Of course, one week late, as Mark Satch has, and again, you got to laugh at Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan is Rex Ryan. He's going to say what he's going to say. You know, we should be the favorites not only in the game, but in the whole tournament. Still in a phrase from one dip ourselves with that tournament phrase. Best defense, best running game. I absolutely agree with 100% with that as far as the defense and the running game. But again, you have a quarterback who, in Mark Sanchez, who's a rookie and who played some of the worst quarterback as a starter of anybody over the course of this season. Again, other than Jamarcus Russell, maybe, Brady Quinn, Derek Anderson. But for guys who had 10 or 12 or more starts, Sanchez was as bad as anybody. And again, you cannot hide a rookie quarterback in the NFL playoffs. There's no way. I don't care how great your running game is. I don't care how great your defense is. He's going to make a mistake, especially on a road that's going to cost his team. Can't hide a quarterback, NFL. Can't hide a rookie quarterback. I mean, look at Baltimore last year. Baltimore defense was just as good, not better than what the Jets was. They ran the ball all over the place. Joe Flacco comes up against Pittsburgh and, has a rookie caliber game and was the difference between Pittsburgh being in the Super Bowl and Baltimore being in the Super Bowl, the fact that Pittsburgh had Ben Roethlisberger and Baltimore had Joe Flacco. There's no denying that.